Dog Works Radio Network presents Mushing Radio, hosted by Robert Forto. Mushing Radio is about dog-powered sports, living in the Great White North, and mushing. Visit our website at mushingradio.com. Here is your host, Robert Forto.
Welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to Mushing Radio here on KVRF 89.5 in the Matsu Valley. RadioFreePalmer.org is our live streaming site. And as always, you can hear all of our podcast episodes that you can download anytime on mushingradio.com. We are heading in towards the winter season here in the Matsu Valley. No snow down here yet, but it is definitely cold enough to get out with the dogs. Hopefully, by mid-month, we're out on the trails with the dog teams and ready to rock and roll. But I believe they did get some snow this week in the Fairbanks area, and that's where we're going tonight. We're going to talk to two folks. We're going to talk to Jennifer Probert and Carl Earhart, calling in from Fairbanks. Jennifer, how's it going this evening?
It's going great.
Well, thank you for joining us. Can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you?
Sure. My name is Jennifer Probert Earhart, and I'm married to Carl Earhart. I grew up in Tok, Alaska, and currently Carl and I and our children reside here in Fairbanks with our kennel of 20 dogs.
And the name of your kennel is Pro Dog Racing, is that right?
Yes.
So 20 dogs in your kennel, I know the name. I'm very familiar with your guys' name and what you're all about. But tell us a little bit about your dogs. Where do they come from? What type of mushing do you do? That sort of thing.
Okay. So we primarily do limited class sprint racing, but we're looking at in the future transitioning over to more open class. And I've been contemplating that for some time now. So folks who know me and who've raced against me have heard me say this before, but part of our hesitation in making that full complete transition is because we've got a lot of kids and just the time that it takes to commit to those longer distances in training is a little bit harder for us because we've got a lot going on with we've got four kids in school right now and two not in school. So we're a little busy with the logistics behind just the kids part of our family. So we try to make it where, 20 dogs is a really reasonable number for us for financial reasons, and then also just being able to make a commitment to each one of the dogs and, have a good training program. And we had 30 dogs last year, but we work with my parents and Carl's dad and his brother John Earhart, and so we gave some dogs to John to use this year. So some of the dogs that really were more geared for open class, because John races open class, and a couple of the older dogs are retired at my parents' house. So we kind of all sort of work together to make it manageable and reasonable for everybody. Most of the lines that we run come from what, I've been running sprint for a while, and I would say the majority of my lines, they go back to some of what Arlie had and Joey. And then we've got some, it's kind of definitely a menagerie, but I did a repeat, and so I've got a lot of the similar thing. And then we've got some of Earhart lines in there, but really just kind of a mix. But pretty houndy dogs is what we've got.
So for folks that aren't necessarily in the mushing scene, can you give us the difference between limited class and open class? What are the main differences?
Sure. So I like to kind of compare things when I'm talking to people who don't really aren't dog mushers, and they're not so consumed with this as we are. And I try to explain in human sport terms, like as far as, the type of dog and the type of training and the type of racing that they're doing, it's distance versus well, long distance in, you know, I guess open class meshing. So you can run as many dogs as you want hooked up to the team, and you go further distance. So it's generally around somewhere between 16 and 30 miles, depending on the time of the year, you know, and which races you're doing. And so those dogs are typically a little bit smaller, and they have more endurance. So they pace themselves at a slightly slower rate, but still pretty fast. 17, 18, 19 miles an hour is what's winning, I would say, a lot of those open class races. And that's maybe somebody who, in comparison to people, that would be somebody who's doing more of a long distance race. Now, the guys that I run, and I say guys because primarily I end up racing males because they're bigger, the power to weight ratio is much different, because some of the races I run, I'm only limited to four dogs. So I race in like 4, 6, 8, 10 dog classes. But typically you'll want a bigger dog for those races that you run less dogs in your team. And those dogs are more like your 50-meter dash kind of guys, like Usain Bolt and guys like that, who are just ginormous and just start out instantly fast and go full bore the entire way. So averaging speeds about 22 miles an hour. And
that is pretty dang fast on a dog sled, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the average speed. So the trail here in Fairbanks, you go out a little bit downhill. So we use our drag mat quite a lot, pretty aggressive on the drag mat, and that still makes an average speed of about 22 miles an hour. And, you know, that's, you have to be on your toes, I guess, when
right.
you're doing that. But I like that.
So you had mentioned the open class. You can run with as many dogs as you want. You know, you'll often see down at the Fur Rondi down here in Anchorage, where some people will have 10 dogs on their line and some will have, you know, 14, 16, even 18 dogs on their line. But those big teams aren't always winning, are they? And if they aren't, why is that so? Why can more dogs be beaten by less dogs?
Well, no matter how many dogs you put in your team, you're not going to go any faster. You're just going to be stronger, and you should be able to hold that speed for a longer amount of time. Now, I'm not the biggest person in the world. I'm 5'2¾", you know, so I'm kind of a smaller jockey. And if, you know, I've ran in a couple of the smaller open races, you know, where there's like 16 miles or so, something like that, and I only run 12 dogs. That's about the max that I run. I'm a small person. I'm not as strong as the rest of the guys, but I have to use that to my advantage. So I don't need as many dogs in the team. And when you use more dogs in the team, there's just more variables, more things that could happen. So I know that a lot of the guys, when they, like if they're going to run 20 dogs on a 3-day race, sometimes they fully well know that that first day is just to take a young dog around there and give them that experience for future years, and they're going to not use that dog the next 2 days. So there's different strategies and reasons why people use more dogs, but if I ran the Fur Rondi or the Open North American, which are two goals, that those are two things, two races that I would love to run someday, but if I did that, I would run a solid 12 dogs. That would be my goal. I wouldn't want to fiddle around with, like, maybe this dog might do it the future year, you know, because, like I said, I'm not the biggest person in the world, so I don't want to take any chances as far as, like, you know, I don't want to have to hook down and do anything if I don't have to.
Right. And for folks that are listening to this, this is so much different than Iditarod or mid-distance racing, where you have a lot of time to work out the kinks out on the trail. You guys are rocking and rolling. Like you mentioned, it's like the 50-yard dash in terms
right.
of sprint mushing. You guys are rocking and rolling around that course, and you're back and done within a few minutes, a half hour or less. Is that right?
Yeah, it really depends on the race that you're in and the weather conditions. But here in Fairbanks, there were two races that I won by 1/100th of a second.
Wow.
So it's really very close. And so everything that you do, like, you know, my gear, I race in tennis shoes if I can, just because that shaves a little bit of weight. My gear, I stay as aerodynamic as possible. So, again, being small is kind of an advantage. There's not a lot of sports that small is kind of an advantage, but squatting behind the sled, getting out of the wind, you know, pumping when I can, but actually pumping isn't always the most efficient thing because I don't know anybody who can pump 22 miles an hour. But
right.
Knowing when actually pumping is doing you good and doing you harm, and then to pump effectively, like, you know, there's some mushers that have beautiful, you know, they have it timed well, and it's very beautiful pump. Others, not so much. But
right.
So to know, and, you know, monitoring your GPS and watching the dogs and their body language, and if this is, are you working with them as a team, or are you just really fouling up their rhythm, you know? But knowing all of those things, waxing correctly, you know, putting every dog in its ideal position, you know, having your diet well so, you know, nobody's pooping on the trail and, you know, messing up your good wax job. But all of those things is, it's a lot different in sprint versus distance. My sled bag is very empty.
So, Jennifer, I know that Carl may be joining us during the show sometime. If he does, just have him pipe in, no problem there. If not, we will continue on. So, off air, Jennifer, we were talking about your guys' lifestyle, and I know you wanted to mention that. What's that all about?
So, we didn't just come into this sport because we've seen people doing it and we thought it would be a great, wonderful thing to do. Both Carl and I are Athabascan natives from Alaska, and we grew up in it. It's part of our tradition. And, like, for example, my mom and dad raced. A lot of my uncles on my mom's side of the family raced. And then also my mom's dad, back in the 20s, he even had he ran the mail with his dog team, and, you know, he hunted and trapped. He hauled wood. And so, you know, that was in the 20s. My uncle Archie won the first Toke Race of Champions in 1954. My mom started racing in 1957, and my dad joined in 1965. And I was born in 74, and I was, you know, pretty much,
you grew up mushing.
Joined in right there. Yeah. And then basically the same with Carl, you know, his family, his brothers. He's got John Earhart is one of his brothers, Chuck Earhart. His dad is Lester Earhart. His sister-in-law, Shannon Earhart, niece, Carrie Earhart. So they've all been racing for, you know, this is something that our family has done for generations. And, you know, I'm sure I will always have a dog for the rest of my life. And this is something we really enjoy and we were just born to do.
So you grew up mushing, and of course several generations there, you mentioned all the way back to the 20s. What about your kiddos? How are they enjoying this lifestyle, or is this something that they're willing to accept? How old is the oldest one? What's the youngest one, and do they mush as well?
Our oldest is 19 and youngest is 8, and they all have ran. And then the three youngest that are in the house right now, the 19-year-old is not in the house with us right now, but the three little girls, they each have their own dog, and they love doing this. And my older kids, they're 19 and 17, they started in the one dog class. Adopted, well, I had actually been out of the sport for a while, and because my parents had phased out, you know, it's kind of a it's an expensive thing to do. So they had phased out, and we were out of the mushing scene for a little while, and I got back into it for my kids, and went to the animal shelter here in Fairbanks and adopted a couple of dogs and got them into the one dog, and then just kind of gradually went from there, and I got back into it because of the kids. So they are definitely part of that and carrying on that tradition for sure.
So I've mentioned several times on this show when my kids were really little, it was a big deal. It was a real struggle to mush, and I was doing sort of sprint mid-distance stuff down in Colorado and having to take them out of school on a Thursday and missing school on Friday and Monday. How do you deal with that with your family? Are they in traditional schools? Are they homeschool kids? How do they deal with, you know, the everyday life outside of mushing?
They're in traditional public school right now. We've thought of homeschooling, but that's part of why we do limited class sprint, is we're trying to kind of keep a balance between those two things. We're pretty involved in sports, other sports besides dog mushing. Like every single one of us plays basketball. So,
wow.
And my son was doing football and baseball and basketball. And so we juggle all of those things. And, you know, somehow, God willing, it just works out. My husband, bless his heart, he stays home with all these dogs and kids, and I work. So, and I say that, you know, he actually works a lot harder than I work because
right.
he's taking
right.
care of all those things and all those logistics. And then the way we do it is, you know, the kids will go to school, I'll go to work, then I can take a long lunch. And adjust my work schedule for that. I'll work earlier in the day. I work into the evening. And then I'll take a long lunch so that I can meet with Carl and then we can train together. And, you know, he can train by himself, but I want to see what's going on too. And that's something that, you know, we enjoy doing together. So we accommodate for that. And then we hustle and then get kids from school. And then it's the rush to do everything else, like get the dogs fed, get to basketball, get kids fed, get homework done. You know, it's a lot of rushing
mm-hmm.
and it's a lot of work, but really, you know, ultimately it's worth it. I wouldn't have it any other way.
It's a heck of a lifestyle. A lot of work, like you said, but a great way to really get your kids involved. And it's a family deal. You know, there's nothing more family oriented than having the entire family out there with the dog yard and, you know, picking up the poop and running the dogs and the whole nine yards. It really has that family bonding atmosphere, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. It's unlike any other sport. You know, we are involved in other sports, but this is the one that our family is the team that makes that sport happen.
Right.
So, you know, like when the kids race, of course they need mom and dad to help them get there to the race because we have the driver's license, you know, but they have to do their part in training and spending time with their dogs. And, you know, they're out there getting cold. And it's not like other sorts of team sports where, you know, you're cheering for your kid on the basketball team and, you know, everybody else's family is working together to make this happen. This is really all of our family, and we use our extended family. And like I said, we sent some dogs to my brother-in-law for them to use, and, you know, my parents help out with the older dogs, and, you know, they'll do that with the puppies. And, you know, we just work together. Like, Carl's dad and brother live in Tanana, so in order to get supplies to them, you know, they need our help too. So, you know, Carl was just, we were at Cold Spot yesterday getting straw, bagging straw so that he could put it on the plane and send it out to Tanana so that the dogs would have straw out there. So we work together. It's just like the team within our house and then the team within our large extended family, cousins and uncles, aunts, moms, dads, everybody, you know, that plays a role in it too.
Very cool stuff. Jennifer, we have about 10 minutes left here. I want to talk about what you've seen change in your life as a musher. As you mentioned a little while ago, you guys have been involved with this since the 20s. So almost 100 years now that your family has been involved with this sport. What have you seen change? You had mentioned you were born in 74 in the last 40-odd years or so.
So I probably started, I think I was on the dog sled when I was 2 and I was racing by the time I was 4. And we had taken a bit of a break from it. And then when I went back to watch, some of the major obvious things was the equipment, the sleds. You know, we were using wooden sleds with the small brake, and then everybody had these fancy fold-up sleds with, you know, the runners come off and you wax them up, and then the dogs would wear these jackets, and the style of the dog was much more houndy. And then when you really get into it, you know, there's a lot that's changed, but really, as far as the health and science and diet and all of these great innovative things, if you go back to the traditional, like, diet that the natives were using with their fish and moose meat, and, you know, those things are actually, you know, if you look at it, it's really a lot of the things that we're trying to mimic now. It's kind of with humans, too. Like, you know, everybody's trying to take all these vitamins and do all this stuff, and then everybody's going back to sort of a greener, you know, more a healthier, more natural way, and that's sort of what we're doing with our dogs and their diet. But I think some of the main things is you know, the equipment, the style of the dog, and then definitely what the dogs are used for now. You know, we use them for this great, you know, hobby, basically, and sport that we do. But in the past, they used the dogs for the transportation and subsistence, and, you know, that was really their only transportation. And so that's a big difference now, too.
What do you see coming up in the future? Do you see anything that is going one way or the other that the average fan might not notice yet? Do you see any big shift? Is it kids becoming involved? Is it kind of the changing of the guard with the old timers? What do you see coming up in the sport of sprint mushing in particular?
It seems like there's a little more dry land actually happening up here in Alaska, and I think that's, you know, with our, this year, you know, we have snow now, which is great, but my birthday is coming up soon, so I know every year when there's usually snow, and that's kind of my gauge, and there was like 5 years that we didn't have snow on that time, and so, you know, this year is great. We have snow, but there's been this change in the weather, and, you know, so sort of along with that, we're seeing a little more dry land racing to accommodate for our, you know, smaller snow season. And as far as kids go, in the Fairbanks area, there was kind of a decline in some of the kids participating. And I think that's, you know, maybe it has to do with lack of snow and then cold weather kind of canceling out some of those days that kids, you know, because their temperature cutoff is a lot warmer than the adults, combined with kids getting involved in other sports and all these other things. You know, we live kind of a crazy life, and it's always like rush, 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 and that's not for everybody. And we make sure that, you know, it's very important for us, the, you know, having a kennel and having dogs and racing being a component in our lives is very important, because it runs very deep in our family. And so we we do everything. Like I get a job, I look for a house or property or whatever, all based around having dogs. You know, anytime we do anything, buy a vehicle or buy a coat or, you know, anything is based around, like, how would this be for the dogs? And not everybody does that or can do that now. And it's hard living in the city even just to find a place to train. There's a lot more rules and regulations, and sadly, there's, you know, people just, they don't like listening to dogs bark or how they smell or whatever, and that's just, you know, it's kind of sad to me, but, you know, as cities get bigger, it gets harder to do the things like this that we love, and so, you know, maybe someday I could see us moving back to Tok or, you know, to Tanana or someplace that sort of accommodates for that better, because urban living is sort of helping kind of restrict dog
right.
mushing from growing. So I hope that's not what happens, but, you know, I kind of see that happening.
You know, it's an interesting thing, and I ask this person to ask this question just about every guest that we have on, and everybody says the same thing. You know, they don't want to see kind of the we don't want to see a fadeaway, I guess. You know, this is what we do, is what we love, and hopefully progress doesn't inhibit what our lifestyle entails. So, Jennifer, we have about 3 minutes left. I know you wanted to mention some folks on the show, and then, of course, I want to ask what's happening this year. What are you guys racing in? Have you guys figured out sort of a winter plan yet?
So, definitely, I want to thank Carl. He does a lot for the kennel. And my parents, Dale and Nellie Probert, and his dad, Lester Earhart, and brother, John Earhart. And then our sponsors, the Riverboat Discovery has been sponsoring us for a while, and the Wireless Connection has come on. And we're just in that process of kind of getting sponsors. And then anybody who's given us even stuff from freezer burnt food or whatever, you know, because we cook for the dogs, so all of that helps. And anybody who's, you know, it's always hard to remember when you're put on the spot and you remember later, oh, I should have thanked so-and-so. So everybody who's helped us out in any way, shape, or form, we truly appreciate it. And, I'm going to remember. Husky Haulers and Big State Logistics helped us out, too. And then as far as what we've got coming up for this year, we typically do the limited class sprint race circuit in Alaska, so that entails races in Fairbanks, Montana Creek, in Anchorage. We'll be doing like the Exxon, the Limited North American, and then we also hit the village races, so we'll make it out to Tanacross in the spring, and then we do the Tok Race of Champions, and then typically we'll also go to Minto, and then Chistochina, and that's down the road a little further towards Glen Allen. And Tanana Spring Carnival, if we can get over there, that's a lot more logistics to get out to there. But we try to hit all of those, you know, the Montana Creek Sioux Valley Championship, North Pole if we can. But it just, you know, things will start in December, and by late February, March, they're pretty busy for us.
Very cool. Jennifer Probert Earhart is our guest today, and her husband and kennel partner, Carl Earhart, was going to join us today, but he was tied up doing some other things. Jennifer, it has been a pleasure. I'll make sure I put a link to you guys' Facebook page on your show page and send you links as well as soon as we get it up. Thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Jennifer Probert Earhart calling in today from Fairbanks, Alaska. Pro Dog Racing Kennel is her mushing kennel's name. They are out of Fairbanks. We'll talk to you guys next time. Goodbye.
Thanks.
Thank you.